Thank you, and welcome to another radio broadcast from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening, and we do pray that God would bless you as you listen this morning to a portion of His own precious Word. We would like to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. You can also check us out on the internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org. There's much information there concerning our church, and I know that if you're interested in our church, this information will be invaluable to you. I trust you enjoyed the message last Sunday morning by John Alls concerning scriptural music. He's going to continue that discussion today, continuing the definition of what music is, and then when should we sing?
Well, we've been talking about music, and of course, we want to go to the scriptures to find what that music is. We talked about singing being praises to God. We talked about it being about His righteousness, about His honor of His name, His mercy, His faithfulness. We talked about being about judgment. You know, that's not one we like to think about sometimes, but the Bible specifically says, I will sing of His judgments. We also found that we're supposed to be showing forth His salvation in our songs. When we sing, it's supposed to be showing forth the salvation of the Lord. We also talked about that it should be joyful. It should be something that we're thankful about. We should sing with thanksgiving in our hearts. We should sing with joy. Too many times we just get used to the song, we know the words, and we just suck all emotion out of it. Sometimes it's because we're just coasting along, and sometimes it's because we tend as Baptists not to want to be associated with, certain movements and things along those lines. And we tend to go too far the other way, suck all emotion out of our songs. And we don't want to do that. It's supposed to be about what the Lord has done for us. It's supposed to be about how magnificent He is. We're supposed to be happy and joyful about it. We're supposed to not be afraid of showing the fact that we're joyful about what the Lord has done for us and what He is doing for us and how magnificent He is. It's a joyful thing, and we should show it when we sing. We also want to talk about that if you look in Psalms chapter 147, in Psalms chapter 147, verse 1, we're going to pick out a couple things in this chapter that we're going to look at. The very first one is, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. So I think we find two things there. We find that it's pleasant. You know, to sing about the glory of the Lord should be a pleasant thing. The other thing is said it should be comely. Now, if you look up the word comely that's used in this text, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, that word basically means to be suitable or beautiful. And I think that can be very fitting in some of the conversations today. There's a lot of music that's being classified as gospel and praising to God that is neither suitable to the glory of God and His honor, nor is it beautiful. There's a lot of things where if you've got really, really, really loud, obnoxious music that drowns out everything else, and you can't hear the words and you can't understand them, and the noise is hard to your ears, that's not beautiful, and it's not suitable or comely. And so I think we need to be cautious about the types of music that we listen to and the types of music that we classify as gospel music. But I actually talked to a guy that came to our church for a while, and he said that he'd been going to another church, and he intentionally, very intentionally, made sure that he got there late so that he wouldn't have to hear the song service. He said the speakers were turned up so loud that when people would play their instruments, it would literally hurt your ears. And that's kind of the style that they wanted, you know, and to me that's not suitable and it's not pleasant. So we need to be cautious how we handle our music, whether it be the singing or the instrument side of that. You know, when it becomes so loud that you can't understand it or that it literally makes your head hurt, I think you've stepped out of the suitable area and have stepped into something else. I'm not sure what you want to call that, but you've obviously stepped outside of the suitable area. We also want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 is where we're going. And there's a little bit in here that talks about with the Spirit. And this is kind of a neat, this is actually a pretty neat chapter, and we'll talk about it even more here coming up. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says here, and I really need to preface this, I kind of hate stepping into the middle of this conversation. It says here, with the Spirit, if you read the rest of this, if you read the rest of this chapter, it's actually talking about, it talks about speaking in tongues, and it talks about some other things that we're doing, and I'm not going to get into that, but basically the whole gist of this chapter is that when you do something in the worship service, it needs to be edifying to others. And edifying basically means building up or an encouragement. It needs to be a teaching. They need to get something out of it. You know, if you're doing something in the worship services and nobody else in the group is being edified by it, then that's not the place for it. And so what we're going to do is if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." So I think what you want to think about when you think about songs, what's it about? We've talked about what all these other things are about. It also needs to be with understanding. When you sing, I'm going to take this two ways. You personally need to understand what you're singing. If you're singing a song to God and you're praising and worshiping Him, you need to understand what you're saying. So I think it's important that we take the time to study the songs that we sing, make sure they're scriptural, and that we understand what it is that we're singing about. The other thing that mainly goes with this chapter, again, is that it needs to be edifying to others. If they can't understand it, it isn't edifying. And so I think what you'll find is that when you sing, you need to sing in a manner that other people can understand you and that they can understand the message. Because if it's not building up, if it's not encouraging, if it's not showing them something about the Lord's Word, it's not the right place for it. You know, I think about when Brother Raymond Johnson comes to our church, and lots of times he will sing songs in the Choctaw Indian language. But he never stops there. He always then turns around and sings the song in English. Because if he sang it in Choctaw, we don't have a clue what he's saying. It hasn't built anybody up. It hasn't done any edifying. He turns around and he sings it in English so we understand what he was singing. And I think that's kind of what this is talking about. You need to understand it, but the people you're singing to need to be able to understand it. And you could put a lot of stuff in that category. Are you singing it audibly? Is the music drowning you out so nobody can hear it? Or are you singing it in a way that nobody can understand the words you're saying? It needs to be edifying to those that are hearing it. Okay, so I think we've learned quite a bit about what is supposed to be about, or what is singing, but I think what we want to do now is we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to talk about when should it happen. When should we sing? And there's only a handful of verses that I'm going to use, and the first one I'm going to start with, you could almost read this one and then stop, because it pretty well covers everything, but there's some others we'll read. If you turn to Psalms chapter 104, Psalms chapter 104, verse 33. "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." So, if you really think about this, he's saying here, I'm going to sing as long as I'm alive. As long as there is as long as I have being, as long as I have breath, I am going to sing praises to God. So, when should we sing? Right now. Are we alive? We should have singing as part of our life. We should have singing as part of the worship of God. It should be something that goes all our life. Okay? We also, we just got done reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm not going to have you turn back there. We read that one. That one was the one that talked about, I'm going to sing with the Spirit. I'm going to sing with understanding. And again, the main thing there is it needs to be something that's edifying. So when should it happen? And I kind of already mentioned this just a minute ago. It should happen when we have understanding. If we don't understand it, there's not a place for it. If I get up there and sing a bunch of stuff that I don't really have a clue what it means, I shouldn't be up there singing it. If I'm up there singing a bunch of stuff and the music is too loud, or I'm singing in a fashion that you can't understand the words I'm saying, I'm not edifying anybody. And so I think it needs to be all my life, but it also needs to be once we have an understanding of what we're singing, and it needs to be in a way that you can understand it. I'll also look in Matthew chapter 26. This is one you're probably familiar with. We do this one every time we do the Lord's Supper. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And if you'd read up a little bit earlier, it says, verse 27, it says, And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So in this place, we find that they've just taken the Lord's Supper, and at the end of that, they actually sing a song, or they sing a hymn. So I think in this case we actually have an example in the New Testament of where they had just had a worship service followed by a song. Now you may have people that tell you that it's not scriptural to sing a song at the end of the church service. I'm sorry, but right here we have an example where Christ fellowshipped with his disciples. They took the Lord's Supper. It was a worship service. When they were done, before they left, they sang a hymn. Okay? So, if you ever have somebody tell you that you shouldn't sing a song at the end of church service, I would take them to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll say, well, we've got an example of where Christ sang a song at the end of the worship service. So, when all of our life, when we have understanding, it can be in a worship service, it can be at the end of a worship service. We also want to look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. This one is a neat one. I think that, you know, lots of times when we sing, we think about getting up and singing in the congregation, or getting up and singing a solo, or whatever the case may be, a special during church services. But look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In this case, we find that singing is not always necessarily allowed. Singing is not always necessarily a public thing. In this case, it says, singing and making melody in your heart. It can be a personal thing. It can be something that you're just singing in your mind. You're going down the road, thanking the Lord for what He's done, worshiping Him, singing praises to Him in your heart. It doesn't even have to be coming out your mouth. Now, I think you can take this another way. Even when you are singing publicly, even when you are singing to the Lord in a worship service, it should be coming from your heart. It should be something you mean, not just something you do based on tradition, or you're just standing there singing the words. It should come from your heart. Right here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
This is a very interesting and necessary study. I'm thankful to know that God allows His believers to sing praises and worship unto God. Did you know that God did not give animals the gift of singing? Did you know that in the Scriptures, even angels do not sing? Check that out for yourself. I think you'll find that I'm right on that. Anyway, we have enjoyed this study. We appreciate it, and we know that you have. And we invite you to listen again next Sunday morning as John Aull continues in this discussion, speaking about singing from the heart, and that we can have victory in Jesus and just proclaim His graces through song. Thank you now for listening.